draw.
He knows what he's doing.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to City Hall and tonight's regularly scheduled City Council meeting. The meeting is called to order, and I kindly ask our city clerk to please take the roll call.
Chuck Brown.
Here.
Ralph Dantino. Dorothy Flanagan.
Here.
Sam Hill.
Here.
Dean Kilberg.
Here.
Greg Maladra.
Here.
Richard Marks.
Here.
Robert Piper.
Here.
Ron Singer.
Here.
Don Vogelsberg.
Folks, we begin our city council meetings with a Pledge of Allegiance, but tonight we have a very special presentation indeed. We have Mr. Dan Herrera and his team who are going to present the colors and then lead us in the pledge.
Thank you. Would Color Master Mason Fisher please come forward?
Please rise. Take your seats.
Thank you, gentlemen, very much. Before we continue on with our meeting this evening, I would like to ask the council's indulgence and those of you joining us here live and those of you joining us by television to also indulge me for just a moment. When you arrived at City Hall this evening, you may have noticed that our City of Geneva flag is flying at half staff. The reason for that is some dear friends of mine, in particular Megan, Maggie, and Elle Weinstein. Megan is a student at the Southern Illinois University. Maggie and Elle are, and Elle is a student at Geneva High School, as is Maggie. They lost their father just about 2 days ago, Mr. Peter Weinstein. And these three young girls are very special young ladies indeed. They're not only ambassadors for the city of Geneva, but they're just good citizens as well. My daughters have had the pleasure of growing up with these young ladies. I had the pleasure of growing up with Mrs. Weinstein, and I promised the Weinstein family that we would lower the flag and begin tonight's meeting with a moment of silence to not only honor Peter, but to let the girls know and Peter's family know that we're thinking about them during this very difficult time. So if you would please join me in just a brief moment of silence. Thank you very much. Item 3A is flag presentation to City by Scout Daniel Herrera. I saw Ms. DeVita signaling you to sit down until we can. Hey, you are a scout. You follow those directions well. Mr. Herrera, and first, Ms. DeVita. For those of you who don't know, Ms. DeVita is the city's economic development director and has had the high honor of working with Mr. Herrera.
I have. Yeah, good evening, everyone. I have to say it's a pleasure to welcome Dan back here tonight, and I know that as his parents, you're very proud. And I want to tell you that I'm very proud of what Dan has done here also. We deal with special event applications all year round. As you know, we've done over 50 of them this year. And this was one that really came together and overcome some hurdles. And I think it's all to Dan's credit, and I really respect that. He came to the city in October of 2010 and told us that he had a vision, definitely had a purpose. He had been out running and noticed that several of the flags flying downtown were very, very worn. And he even said that he found one in the trash, and he took it home and retired it properly. He's an accomplished cross-country runner. Was it a five-minute mile, Dan? 4:49. Okay. And he took his passion for running and his love of country, and he put them together for his Eagle Scout project. And it wasn't really smooth sailing, and along the way he learned patience, compromise, and he exhibited extraordinary follow-through. At one point, Dan had first come in with a route that would have necessitated closing 23 intersections. We don't have the manpower to do that, and so we explained to him that we were going to have to redo the route and find something else. But along the way, he was building in certain goals. He had found, I'll get to that in a minute. He also knew that he needed insurance, and that was something that would be harder. So I suggested to him that he look several other ways to try and partner to put the race on. And in the back, we have Liz Fahey and Eric Ott. Liz is with Geneva Jakes, and Eric's the owner of Geneva Running Outfitters, and they were very glad to work with Dan. So all of a sudden, we have three organizations, three groups of people working together, and they had goals, one for just supporting Dan, supporting running, supporting the Life is Good motto of philanthropy, and also supporting our beautiful downtown, which merged with the Economic Development Department's goals. So you've got everything coming together. And yet we had a route we had to figure out. And that's where Dan learned compromise. And he was able to put together a race that provided recognition for the businesses. It gave people a reason to come downtown. He provided a quality timed run that supported eligibility for future races for those who ran it. He wanted a twilight run. That was unique for us, and he was able to execute it quite safely. And he also worked around other events in the downtown so that he didn't impact the shoppers and their ability to park. He had everybody come to Geneva Jakes, and they signed in, and then he safely got them to the intersection at 3rd and Batavia Avenue with the signal so they could cross over, and then they ran at the Government Center route. And it took compromise, and it took maturity, and it took attention to details and logistics. This was Dan's Bible. He's documented everything that he did, and we're just really proud of you. I'll let you come up and tell everyone how much you raised and what you have to do here. It's been a pleasure to work with you, Dan.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I want to talk about this 449 mile. You know, Dan, you actually, I don't know if you know this or not, but you ran past one of our red light photo enforcements. And so you actually. That's right. Why don't you introduce your parents as well, if you would?
Over there we have Mr. Bob Herrera and Mrs. Lisa Herrera, my parents.
That Herrera name's a big name. Very important name in Geneva, the Herrera name.
I just want to thank them because if it weren't for them, I couldn't have done any of it. They were always there to calm me down or get me more stressed out.
That's what parents do.
Through the race, we raised a net profit of $3,050. My goal was $1,000. There was a very large turnout, not just from Geneva. People from Geneva, Streamwood, Batavia, St. Charles, anywhere, DeKalb, they all came out for the cause and to support me, and I really appreciate that. I think if any of you guys were there, were helping me out in the process, I'd like to thank you. Obviously, since my goal was only $1,000 and I raised three times that, I had a little excess money, And so I was able to purchase not only American flags, but American-made American flags. So nothing was imported from China or Malaysia or anything like that. Out of all the things you'd think we could make in America, you'd think our flag would be one of them. But they were decently hard to find. They mean a lot to me, and I know they mean a lot to other people as well. So I purchased extra to give some to members of the community who really helped me out and helped the community out as a whole. At this time, I'd like to invite Mr. Rogers, the principal of Geneva High School, Mr. Burns, the mayor of Geneva, Miss Mary McKittrick, Miss Liz Fahey, Mr. Joe Guevara, my mother, my father, Mr. Peter Rock, the representative from the Geneva Police Department, Mr. Eric Ott, and Mr. Paul Herrera to please come forward. In addition to that, if I could have Mr. Jerry Marsek and Miss Ellen DeVita, Mr. Rose Bracio, and if Mason and Mitchell and Stephen and John could come up. Again, I'd like to thank all of you for your help and support and everything that I've done. Without you guys, I couldn't have made it anywhere. It really was a team effort. I was not the only one involved in it, to say the least, and you guys were all there for me. So thank you very much.
I wrote something, forgot I wrote it.
Throughout the past 13 months, I found myself in much stress organizing this race. To see the end result was worth it all. The strong sense of support I received from all the involved means the world to me. Words cannot express my emotions of gratitude and thanks to my faithful family, friends, neighbors, and Boy Scout Troop 37. The American flag represents our great nation and deserves to be held in high esteem. Please accept this flag as a gift and display it in an honorable manner. Thank you and God bless America. The rest of these flags will be proudly hung in downtown Geneva. So next time you drive through, just remember, that was me.
Thank you.
Now, Dan, before you sneak away, inquiring minds want to know, what do you plan to do for your Eagle Scout?
Well, that was my Eagle Scout project.
Oh, it was? Good, okay.
So that was a large part of it. So I still have a few more badges to finish up.
Ah.
And after that, I'll be an Eagle Scout.
Now, you have a couple Eagle Scouts in the audience with us tonight, correct?
Do I?
Do you have some friends who are Eagle Scouts with us tonight, or no?
No, they have not reached Eagle yet.
Do you know there's an Eagle Scout here on the dais? Any idea who it might be? Don't look at me.
Mr. Lantern.
The city clerk. Any idea what year the city clerk earned his Eagle Scout? Now, if you get this right, we're going to waive your parents' taxes.
I'm going to say 53. 85. 86. You gotta figure out your hand motions. 80? That looks like a 35 to me. 50? 5? 8.
That's right.
All right.
1858, that's right.
Yeah.
The joke is that the city clerk invented fire for his... Any other Eagle Scouts with us this evening? Oh, right in the back. Well, stand up and introduce yourself. This is exciting.
Pete Asset,
Liz's boyfriend. Was that your Eagle Scout badge, being Liz's boy? What? Thanks for laughing, by the way. What year did you earn your Eagle Scout?
96.
Oh, wow. So quite a while ago. 15 years ago. It was fun. You got that, Dan? There's no need to be stressed out, man.
I don't know if I'd call that process fun.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you. Notice how he did not use hand gestures to say what year he, unlike the clerk.
I was trying to be subtle.
Dan, congratulations. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you. And I forgot to hand out, I've got pamphlets on how to display the flag. So,
oh, please.
As I come around.
One question, Mayor?
Yes, sir.
I don't think you said how many total flags you managed to purchase.
I purchased 100 flags.
Wow.
Out of that 100, you just saw the set, you know, giveaway. But in addition to that, I still have around $2,000 to set up an account for the city for future flags.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Thank you. Let's see if he can hand those things out in under 4 minutes and 49 seconds. What's your personal best on the mile, Dan? Is that your personal best?
That's it, yeah.
Slacker. It's like, what the?
What was yours?
That was driving. I didn't run. They didn't have a mile back then. We were in the metric system, the failed system. If nobody objects, we'll move on with the agenda, and item 3B is to proclaim October 22nd, 2011, as Make a Difference Day in the city of Geneva. We have a very special guest with us this evening. Mrs. Marsick, are you going to come up and say a few words? I hope, because I've gotten a lot of comments about that Santa hat in the paper, and I want to introduce the people who put that thing in there.
Well, that was the best part of the picture.
Yeah.
Thank you for letting me be here again this year. This is the fourth year in a row that my environmental organization called A Lasting World has worked together with the community of Geneva to bring new toys and Christmas joy to underprivileged children in Appalachia, Kentucky. The children come from homes where the annual average family income is less than $12,000. They do not have Christmas without our help. I have a whole support team, too, maybe not as big as Dan's, but just as great. A group of my fellow teachers at Friendship Station Preschool are here tonight, and they were the first group who joined with me to do this project. It has now expanded. We have people from Fabian Elementary, the Geneva High School Key Club, St. Peter Elementary, And also the police department has a box collecting toys, and I will be here Saturday morning outside the mayor's office also collecting toys. And so I just want to thank everybody for being such a giving, wonderful community and for understanding that, you know, we are very blessed here, and there are places that aren't quite as blessed. And I just really love the way Geneva comes together and helps us all out.
Gwen, would you like to introduce your colleagues as well? So
I certainly will. Cindy Stewie.
The famous Mrs. Stewie.
The famous Mrs. Stewie.
Holy moly. I think my daughter's had Mrs. Stewie. So you've been teaching there for what, like 70 years or something like that? It's like unbelievable.
Karen Sweeney is sitting next to her. She's our speech teacher.
Excellent.
Ellen Romoser is over next to my husband, Jerry.
Yes.
And Tina Gaetani is behind her. So, and they're representing many other teachers that could not be here tonight, but that all have pitched in and just stood behind me and just done a great job with this whole project.
So. That's great. So. If the council doesn't object, I'd like to read the proclamation. The proclamation for Make a Difference Day 2011 reads, whereas all children are deserving of a happy life, no matter what their environmental or economic situation, and whereas supporting the children of Geneva, Illinois, is in their efforts to reach out to others, less fortunate children, is a top priority. And whereas it is especially important that the citizens of our city be aware of the needs of all children. And whereas all the citizens of our city will assist in promoting the Santa Project to be facilitated by Friendship Station Preschool, Fabian Elementary School, the Geneva High School Key Club, and local members of A Lasting World Incorporated. Now, therefore, I, Kevin Burns, Mayor of the City of Geneva, do hereby officially proclaim October 22nd, Nice Weather Day, as official Make a Difference Day in the City of Geneva, Illinois, and I urge all citizens of the city to come together to participate in supporting the Santa Project, and by coming together to participate in giving faith, hope, love, and commitment to the students involved in this project. Is there a motion to so proclaim?
I'll move.
Motion by Alderman Hill, seconded by Alderman Singer. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Wonderful. And I'd like to present this to you.
Thank you very much.
Ladies. Ooh.
They're all coming up. Yep.
Coming out of the woodwork.
Alderman Singer has a question or a comment.
Yes. I really enjoy your program, and I've supported you over the years. And, again, you're going to be out here in the main entrance of the City Hall on this Saturday. And what from what time?
10 a.m.
till
noon.
10 to noon.
Uh-huh.
Very good. Okay. You'll
on
see
First
me.
Street. Thank you very much. Yes, just right out here.
Mm-hmm. And, Wen, describe the kind of gifts you want them unwrapped.
Unwrapped.
Unwrapped presents.
New toys.
Because
it will be for Christmas.
Exactly.
Christmas
so.
And for any age, anything is appropriate except for no electronics or battery-operated toys. Most of the kids do not have electricity, and batteries just would not be able to do anything.
Couldn't afford to buy them.
Right.
And we should note that Wen and her husband's efforts, among others, doesn't just stop with collecting the toys. You actually drive to Kentucky and deliver these toys. And that has got to be an extraordinarily heartwarming experience. So,
I wish all of you could come and experience.
Well, we'll rev up the city jet and join it up. And Mr. Marslick, is it true that you dress as Santa Claus?
No.
You do not?
I did first year, yes.
I saw that on CNN.
I'm a pre
pretty skinny Santa, though.
I was going to say, the kids would say, what the heck happened? It's like America's Biggest Loser Santa. So,
no cookies that year.
But ladies, gentlemen, thank you very, very much. Thank you. And feel free to sneak out if you need to sneak out. So, Mrs. Stewie, thank God. I know. That is really a very special program.
Yes, it is.
It really is. Item number 3C is a check presentation by Nosh Restaurant to the Geneva Beautification Committee. And I want to defer to our august alderman, Alderman Flanagan. This is exciting.
It is very exciting.
Isn't it, Mr. Dixon? Exciting. You've been sitting in the front row.
They've been holding on to this for 3 months.
Just to get him on the agenda.
It's probably not good anymore.
It probably isn't.
I hope it is.
It is.
Well, did you want, I can introduce you.
Yeah, you should. Yeah, absolutely.
Dixon from Nosh. He actually is giving us a check because during Swedish Days, he was nice enough to have some of the a booth. And the proceeds that were coming from that booth were to be given to Geneva Beautification. So we wanted him to present the check in somewhat of a formal setting and thank him formally rather than just with a tiny little letter. So I know that Nosh is on 211 South James, right?
James, yeah.
Yeah, on James. And we have your store hours. I don't know if you remember. Monday through Friday, 7:30 to 2. Saturday and Sunday, 8 to 2. I'm sure everybody has been there, but just in case you haven't, it's a great place to be. During the Swedish Days, he named his booth Nachos because he was handling Mexican food or giving Mexican fare out. So burritos, tacos, nachos.
Nachos.
So that's where the name came from. So on... if you'd like, you can do the formal presentation to us. I'd first like to introduce Cookie Olson from our group and Jenny Russo. They're both part of our fundraising group, and Jenny was instrumental in working with Mike during the event and trying to get everything coordinated. We didn't do as much advertising as we'd like. I sent it out to a lot of our beautification volunteers, etc., email. So I hope you had
a great turnout. We actually, this year was our first year of doing it, and we projected X number of sales as a number of people, and we were about only 7% off from that.
Wow.
So we were real close for our projections, and we really appreciate it. I mean, the Geneva Beautification, Mike Simon, who let us use his land, and then the shops at 220 were very supportive, along with using their utilities, the water, and electric. So I want to thank everybody, but this was a great effort, and I hope that the check goes far with Geneva Beautification, and I hope that we have the opportunity next year to do the same thing.
Great.
Yes.
Thank you. It's very appreciated because it's only through donations that we can get the flowers and plant them each year.
Okay.
So we're getting ready for next year.
All right.
Thank you very much. Yes.
All righty. Well,
thank you.
You know, it should be noted that Mr. Dixon's not only a business owner in town, but also a resident.
A resident, yes, I am.
That's right. So very impressive.
Support. And we love the flowers that they put out every year.
They're gorgeous, aren't
it's
they?
It's great. It's fantastic. Yeah.
Thank you.
Right. Thank you.
And we really, again, appreciate your donation, and it'll be used very well.
Good. I'm glad. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's kind of like the telethon. They do a little gig about the business and everybody gets off stage. See you later, Cookie.
Okay.
Item 3D is the feature department report presentation, and tonight we have the pleasure of hearing from our friends in the Human Resources Division of the Administrative Services Department. Isn't that a mouthful?
Yes. Good evening. My name is Ellen Burmeier.
With that kind of enthusiasm, we are ready for a...
actually yelling.
I know.
I'm sorry. I want to file a formal protest. I have to follow a scout with flags.
I know. It's
children and toys and beautification. To talk about human resource? I'm sorry.
Well, now we're all psyched.
This is my problem with life. I'm a sarcastic human resource manager.
Is there any other kind?
Yes.
Is there?
Now he threw me off, Mayor. Yes. Thank you, Mayor, for that introduction.
That's right.
As you can see, I am here to represent the Human Resources Division of the Administrative Services Department. And I think if I can get that out, I should be able to leave after that.
Move
such
to adjourn.
Mouthful. And I always get the D's confused, so at least I got them out right. When I started working for the city of Geneva 3 years ago, there were two people in the Human Resource Department. As I stand here now, there is one full-time position and one part-time position. So I am the Human Resource Department, essentially, and proud to be. This is a small list of HR responsibilities. I'm sorry, I'm walking away from the mic. This is only a cross-section of things. I just thought these might be of interest. Benefit administration, compensation, and staffing are a big part of my presentation, so I won't talk about them now. But I did want to share with you how pleased we were this year that we didn't have an increase in our health insurance. That's a big deal for us. And with all the media attention that health insurance has gotten and all the changes with the federal government, I think it's pretty much of an accomplishment. So we were really pleased. Going down to workers' compensation, I manage the workers' compensation program for the city of Geneva. Every injury be reported by state law, so we make sure that everything's documented. When someone needs to get medical attention, I coordinate all that. Sometimes if it's more serious and they need to have surgery and physical therapy, then it may go out for 6 or 7 weeks and they may need to take time off, so then we get into a leave of absence situation. I work very closely with the employees during this period of time. They check in with me quite often. I work with the managers in case they're going to be off work, see how we can staff the teams. FMLA, when I originally thought about putting together this presentation, I was going to make it all about the acronyms. Anybody who's around HR very long, it is filled with acronyms. The Family Medical Leave Act, which is FMLA, has been around for quite a while now. That entitles an employee to take up to 12 weeks off in a year for either personal illness or to take care of a loved one who is ill, and they've added a bunch of military service personnel lately. If you have someone in your family who has come back from the military and they're injured, you can also take off time to care for them. 12 weeks can be intermittent, so you have to track the time. Where it gets tricky, it's a rolling 12 months, so the first time you take off, you start the clock. If you don't declare it, if someone is off sick for 2 or 3 weeks or maybe a month and you don't declare it family leave, then they can take off at some later point and never count that time towards family leave, so they get even more than 12 weeks. So that's where you really have to keep an eye on it. I'm the one who sits in with managers usually during disciplinary actions. We don't have many of those in the city. I'm happy to say that's when I usually say I'm not the most popular girl in the block. I'm the one in there trying to keep everybody on the subject and make sure that we take care of business, that the disciplinary actions are taken care of properly. And along with that, and I never know how to explain this so it doesn't sound awkward, I am the person who protests the unemployment claims, which is IDES, that's the Illinois Department of Employment Security. Now, there are a couple of different ways that people file for unemployment. I've actually had employees leave voluntarily who file for unemployment, and sometimes they can get it. So if you're not careful and you don't protest those claims, the city would be responsible for possibly up to 28 weeks of unemployment pay. So it can be quite costly. And knowing how we are about the budget, we have to be cautious. There have been a couple of times where people have been terminated for cause. They've broken major rules, so you have to write all that down and make sure that you have that clarified. And sometimes if you don't do that correctly, they can win those unemployment claims also. So it can be tricky. But that, again, with disciplinary actions, those don't happen very often. Some of the ongoing projects that I work on is succession planning. We do the benchmark surveys. I do the quarterly employee newsletter. I work on training. As you probably know, there have been numerous Freedom of Information requests. The newspapers have just gone crazy, and HR is always one of the main departments that gets hit because it has to do with salary. So I spend a lot of time putting together spreadsheets for newspapers. We also do a lot of survey information for other municipalities. There's a lot of information shared. Health and wellness. This is an important week for health and wellness. We're having our benefits fair, our health and benefits fair on Thursday. We do this annually. And this year we're excited because we're able to provide a health screening for the employees. And through Blue Cross Blue Shield, we're able to provide that at no cost to the employees nor to the city. And so we'll do that this year. People will have their blood drawn. We'll get results. Part of the program is they will fax the results to your doctor for you. You get a report. The doctor gets a report. The next time you go in for your physical, the doctor has that information at his disposal. Next year when we do it again, if you test and you can improve your scores on your, what they call your health indicators, then we're hoping to be able to provide some kind of incentive. But you have to do it this year and do it next year in order to be considered. So I ran the report right before I left. Today was the last day to sign up, and we actually had 79 people signed up, so I was quite excited about that. And that's without even twisting arms. The part-time person that works with me, most of you may know her. We dragged her out of retirement. That would be Ms. Sharon Robbins. And I'm very excited that she's back working with us. She is the part-time person that handles the payroll process. And as you can see, we do it biweekly. There are 26 pay periods. It's pretty much an ongoing project. And we're always joking that it seems like we're doing payroll more often than we're actually getting paid. But, you know, that's kind of one of those things. She works about 8 hours every 2 weeks. And the beginning of the process is entering hours, and then the ending process for her is the stuffing of checks. And there's a lot in between there that I could talk about, but I won't. And she's very good at what she does. She did it for 11 or 12 years before she retired. Once the payroll is done, though, we do have reports that have to be submitted, and I get to do all that. It's wonderful. We pay our health and dental insurance off of payroll, so some of the reports I do on a monthly basis are I pay the health and dental invoices, and I audit those before I pay them, so that takes a little while. I also do pension reports for IMRF, and I do monthly pension reports for the Police and Fire Commission. To make sure those are all up to date. And then the quarterly reports are basically tax reports. That would be the federal 941, state 941, and then we do an unemployment wage report every month to the state of Illinois. And those are okay until your numbers don't match your payroll, and then you have to spend some time trying to figure out why and get those fixed. Excuse me. And then, of course, at the end of the year, the W-2s. And again, if your payroll numbers don't match your reports at the end of the year, then you have to go back and figure that out. But we usually run those. The employees are usually waiting for those because they're wanting to do their income taxes, so that's another important thing. This is one of the areas I wanted to talk about a little bit. I know you're going to say to me, but Ellen, we have a hiring freeze. And we do. And we are still at the staff levels that we've been at, but we do have an occasion where someone leaves, like a couple of weeks ago. Mr. Ed Parker retired. Some of you may have been aware of that. He was a longtime employee. We've had an employee over the last couple of months take another position. And these are vacancies that we feel should be filled. So we have a process. We've been working on this over the last couple of years. Basically, the interviewing and hiring procedure is a step-by-step procedure to make sure that we are objective in our hiring. And that we hire the best applicants. And very briefly, when there's a vacancy, the first thing we do is pull the job description and make sure it's still accurate. We use the job description to pull the qualifications needed to go on the job posting. So the job posting is made up of those qualifications that are needed to that particular job. Other information on the job posting is who to submit it to, What's the end date that you could submit it? The last 3 years that I've been here, it's interesting, we've only posted jobs on the city website, and we get a huge number of applications. The last job I did, we had 67. So I have to coordinate and track all of those. I review them all. I pull the ones and put aside the applications that have the qualifications for the job, and those are the ones I forward to the hiring manager. We have to make sure we stay on track with that. Then we usually sit down and put together interview questions, and we use the same questions for each applicant. And again, to be objective, to make sure you're getting answers or asking the same questions to get the same answers, basically, to make honest decisions. So we sit down to do the interview. Again, we're doing a team interview. There's at least two of us usually, sometimes three. And that can be somewhat intimidating for the applicant. They come into a room full of people to interview. It's always hard to do anyway. But I think it's more objective that way because I may see things that the hiring manager doesn't see and the other way around. So I think it's a good way to do business. Once we decide, or once the hiring manager decides who they want to hire, then we do the reference checks and we put together a conditional job offer. There are a couple of letters that have been in place for quite some time. They're quite extensive and they lay out all the details of the hiring and the job offer. So once we send it off to the applicant and they sign off on that, then we go ahead and we do, I coordinate the pre-employment physical, the drug screen, and the background check because they have to pass those before they can come to work for the city of Geneva. And that seems somewhat extensive, but you don't want to hire people with health issues. You don't want to hire someone in public works that has a bad back because then you're going back to the work comp situation and processing all kinds of paperwork and injuries and things of that nature. I had to put this up here. These are the topics you cannot talk about during an interview. Don't want those claims of discrimination coming in the door. And again, that's the other reason that we're very careful with the job posting and the interview questions. It is very easy to go out into this area. It really, really is. And even after all the years that I've interviewed, you have to be very careful. So you have to make sure that you don't ask questions that are unrelated to their ability to do the job. None of these topics should really have anything to do with their ability to do the job. My favorite story that I've told for years, I did hire a young man for a customer service job, and it was in a group of four people, and all they did all day was answer the phones. This young man came to me almost by accident, but he was a quadriplegic with partial use of his hands. And he was one of the best customer service people that we've ever had. So I think that's a really good example of how you should be open-minded and give everybody a chance when they come in the door. These topics also pertain to the day-to-day business at the city. I find myself policing people on occasion. The jokes, the kidding around, the teasing sometimes go out in these areas, and I get to be the fun person who goes, no, I'm leaving now because we can't talk about those things. And some of you may have seen me do that on occasion. So you have to be really careful these days. Politically correct should probably be added to the term human resource somehow. Human politically correct resources. So it's getting very difficult. It really, really is. So I wanted to put that up there so you had an idea of the complications in that area. So we've hired a new employee. They come to see me in my office, and we do this really extensive orientation. There are a lot of forms to fill out. It's extremely overwhelming. There's just a huge amount of information. They're brand new on the job. They can't even remember their coworkers' names, and I'm in there yakking to them about insurance. And not just yakking about insurance. I'm going into great detail, okay? We are looking at forms. They have to fill out federal W-4, state W-4, they have to fill out the federal I-9, which is verification for employment. They fill out an IMRF form so we can get them into IMRF. I make sure they get a handbook, personnel policy handbook, and get a receipt. We want to make sure we have an emergency notification on hand in case something happens during the workday. And then I get to take a picture. So I'm kind of a jack of all trades. We take the picture for the city ID, and sometimes I do use it for the employee newsletter. Then I start talking about insurance, and we get to talk about PPOs and HMOs and the difference and what they cost and how much comes out of your pocket and what a deductible is and what a copay is. I tell people, too, I know more about insurance than I ever really wanted to know, but I have to be able to explain it, and I do think it's really an important part of the job. I forgot to mention that payroll is probably the other most important part of the job because we all like to get paid. Insurance is probably number two for a lot of people, particularly if they have families. So we talk about health insurance, we talk about dental insurance, vision. We have a very nice flexible spending plan here with the city for health and also dependent care. Direct deposit is a big project of mine. I personally have taken it upon myself to talk every person in the city who does not have direct deposit to do so. And I've been fairly successful. Lately I have had about 5 or 6 people get on board. There are a lot of people that don't like direct deposit. I've been in direct deposit for years. I don't understand that. I don't mind not going to the bank. I don't mind not going to the drive-up window. It doesn't bother me a bit. We also have to get them to fill out their beneficiary form for the city-sponsored life insurance. That's another form that they have to do. So you can see it's quite extensive. They're in my office for a long period of time. And I tell them when you leave, if you have any questions at all, please call me. One of the things I pride myself is that I'm available to the employees. And they call me, and they come in, and they see me. So I'm very proud of that. So now I have all the paperwork, and I have to put it all in the system. Back in the day, we faxed all that. Now we go online, and I hit about a dozen websites, and we get everybody signed up, and we get them in payroll. That takes a little bit of time. You have to add all the W-4 information, the benefit information. You have to get them set up so their sick and vacation days accrue correctly. You have to get their direct deposit information in, and you have to make sure it's right because you want that paycheck to be right, that first paycheck in particular. So I'm going into all these websites. I put one up here that you may not be aware of, and that's the Illinois Child Support New Hire Reporting website. That's the way the state of Illinois now tracks a lot of child support, and it's very important. I don't know how much they've collected, but I think we can all understand that that's a good way to do that. So I make sure we get that gets done. Somehow I had a glimmer that you might want to know the information on this graph. Now, I'm not a graph person, so please bear with me. But as you can see, this is years of service. There are 44 people on that graph that have 20-plus years with the city of Geneva. And I think you all know that longtime employees are an asset. I'm not that old-fashioned. I don't think that I'm the only one here that thinks that. So I wanted you to see that. 44 people is a lot of people. And when I do post those jobs that I was talking about a little while ago, they come out of the woodwork. I had a person tell me that his number one place to work was Geneva and his number two was Naperville, and I was pretty proud of that. If you can beat out Naperville, it's a pretty good day. So my goal for the city of Geneva is to continue to hire these wonderful employees, and not just hire them, but keep them and keep them happy. And it does get hard, particularly in these economic times. Things have been difficult the last few years for Geneva. I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but the employees know that. So I think we have to keep the communication going and do as much as we can for them. I know that you talk about and discuss and make decisions about things like equipment, squad cars, fire engines, public works trucks. Then we have computers. We have smartphones, we have spreadsheets, all that stuff's important. But you know what I'm going to say. It's in my title. I take care of the humans. Thank you.
Well done, Ellen. Thank you.
Well done. Thank you.
Well done.
Just for everyone's benefit, how long have you been in the human resources world?
Long time.
That's not an answer.
Well. See, that was my joke at the beginning. I was going to say, I was going to tell you how long I've been in HR, but I can't because you might discriminate against me.
Well, you've been there through all the...
86.
Since 86.
Yeah. When I started, they just started calling it human resource, and they'd say, what do you do for a living? I'd say, I'm in human resource. Oh, personnel. That's what they'd say.
Yeah.
It's still the changeover at that. So, and it's grown. I can't even begin to tell you what's all encompassed in HR anymore. It's grown so much. There are specialty areas. There's compensation is a specialty area. Benefits is a specialty area. I get to be the generalist, so I belong to a couple of websites that are very helpful, and I have two very helpful ladies here, so thank you. Do you have any questions?
Yeah, any comments or questions for Alan? Alderman Singer?
Yeah, thank you. Al, I didn't realize the number of hats you wear for your position. I have to compliment you on that, and I've had a number of conversations with you both on a professional and a personal level. And you're just a very delightful person to work with, and I can see that, and I can see how the employees, I'm sure, must enjoy your knowledge and your professionalism as well. I want to compliment you on that.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for what you do for us.
I really appreciate that.
Anyone else? I want to share something on the personal level about Ellen that not a lot of us know, but you are, dare I say, an amateur / professional cake maker?
Oh, please.
That's true.
No. I don't know who's been telling you that. I took a cake class.
You took a, but you've also brought in like.
I took two cake classes.
You brought in sample cakes.
I have, yes.
Yes.
I have to get busy again, though.
Is that not an inherent conflict of interest by having employees eat such objects in terms of the health and wellness program?
It doesn't really go with the health and wellness.
Oh, it doesn't? Okay.
You know, you have to have a little fun in life. That's the way I look at that.
But you do a heck of a job, so.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Thank you.
When's the next cake coming in? That's what we want to know.
I know. You know, we're having a Halloween chili. I don't know. Cake and chili? I don't know. What do you think?
Oh, God. We'll be posting all sorts of new jobs.
I don't know. Maybe the city council wouldn't mind sampling some of hers.
Alderman Flanagan's
had a great special party?
No, just a little goodie.
Well, we do every Monday night, for God's sake, at 7 o'clock.
Let me see. Next week? Are you?
That would be my guess.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ellen. Item number 4, amendments to the agenda. Anyone wishing to offer an amendment? Item 5 is the omnibus agenda. Oh, you have an amendment, Mr. Piper?
Oh, I got number 5.
Oh, number 5. Omnibus agenda offered by?
11C, please. I'd like to have that removed.
Well, see, that's what you do under the...
11C.
What? I thought, am I not doing it right?
Bob.
Thank you.
Is it number 5? Items with an asterisk?
The omnibus agenda as presented with item 11C removed per Alderman Piper.
Yeah. Am I doing it out of order?
Focus.
Am I doing it out of order?
So moved.
So moved by Alderman Brown.
Second.
Take your potato glasses back.
Second by Alderman Flanagan.
Tell you right now.
Mr. Clerk, take the roll.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Dean Kilberg?
Aye.
Greg Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Robert Piper?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Thank you very much. We jump down to item number 9. Correction, item number 10, municipal bills for payment. We ask our city clerk, the Eagle Scout, to please read the bills recommended for payment.
Bills for payment total $2,277,216.43.
Mr. Mayor, I recommend that we approve and pay the bills as read. The individual bills are displayed on the city website in the city council packet for tonight.
Second. Alderman Brown recommends that we pay the bills as read, seconded by Alderman Hill. Questions or comments? Mr. Clerk, roll call, please.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Arthur Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Dean Kilberg?
Aye.
Greg Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Robert Piper?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Motion passes. Thank you. We jump down to item 11C, which was removed from the omnibus agenda by Alderman Piper, and that's to approve ordinance number 2011-46, amending Title 4, Section 2, Liquor Control, adding one Class D8 liquor license for JMC Family Incorporated, Chelios Pub, to serve inside the Fox Valley Ice Arena at 1996 South Kirk Road. Only forwards and goalies can drink while playing.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Flanagan, seconded by, I believe it was Mr. Marks.
Mm-hmm. And I hope that second part was true.
No, that was, yes, I'm sorry.
I just need to recuse myself from the vote. That's all.
Questions or comments? Seeing none, hearing none. Mr. Clerk, roll call, please.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Dean Kilberg?
Aye.
Greg Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Motion passes with 7 affirmative votes. two absence, and one recusal. Item 13, new business. Those remaining in the audience, we have the distinguished former alderman, Mr. Radecki, with us this evening, and of course, the president of the library board. Notice how distant they are sitting from each other. Apparently, Jim owes money at the library. And of course, is it Nagel?
Yes, sir.
Yes, of course, Mr. Nagel from Patch. So. What happened last weekend against South Elgin? Okay. Let that be for the record. The press does not want to talk about it. Mr. Singer.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. There's going to be a third fall senior safety academy. On the heels of a wildly successful summer picnic in Wheeler Park, packed with great food, activities, and entertainment, which was sponsored by the Central Kane County Triad, we've scheduled a fall senior safety academy on Wednesday, October the 26th, from 9 a.m. till noon, which will be held at Delnor Community Hospital, building 351, which is the lower level. Coffee and donuts, a free lunch, raffle prizes will be provided for participants. You won't want to miss the presentation that focuses on driver safety for seniors. You may sign up for the Safety Academy by calling the center at 630-232-3602 no later than Friday, October the 21st. What Triad does is it brings together local police departments, the Kane County Sheriff's Departments, and Senior Services Associations, Geneva Township, and service providers for seniors. And most importantly, seniors are offered educational seminars of particular interest to older adults, including programs like 9/11 phones and a file of life. So we welcome all our seniors to this very fine Senior Safety Academy, and I hope we see many of you there. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else? Mrs. McKittrick.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to mention to everyone, you may have seen an email that I sent out earlier today with a copy of the letters that the mayor sent to our local legislators regarding the personal property replacement tax. That is being advocated by the governor to remove that from the distribution to municipalities. So as you recall, we had quite a battle last year regarding the local government distributive funds. This is something a little bit different. The distributions are less than what the income tax distributions are, not at the same level, but nonetheless very important to those budgets that have been reduced so drastically over the last several years. So those funds being diverted from municipalities to pay regional superintendents' salaries will mean an effect on our services to our constituents. So I appreciate your support in contacting our legislators and the governor's office to let them know that those dollars are important to our citizens and the services that we provide. I'm not sure if Stephanie was going to mention the SPAC meeting, so then I won't. Thank you.
Thanks for that segue. Just a reminder, this Wednesday, the 19th, from 7 to 9, SPAC will be hosting their annual town meeting. We'll be recognizing our subcommittees, and then the topic of discussion is the Emerald Ash Borer and the city's response. Talk a little bit about the 50-50 tree program and come up with any other ideas that people might have out there. So please join us, 7 to 9, right here.
Thank you, Stephanie. Alderman Hill.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Late last week, I driving back from a beautiful afternoon on a golf course and turned the corner onto my cul-de-sac and observed some very gorgeous orange leaves in the street. And I became very concerned about the possibility of those leaves being washed into the gutters, into the sewers, and decided to do as much as I could to notify all 42 residents of the subdivision in which I live to make sure that when you're raking your leaves to get them out of the gutters, out of the street, I'm sure that a lot of people don't understand the difficulties that could arise if the rains, and we haven't had a hard rainstorm since a week or two ago, but if we did, we'd be filling up those gutters, filling up the sewers with potential sewer backups into homes. And also, I did have to go door to door to a couple of folks who didn't seem to respond, and decided to take a little survey. And a survey of how many people, how many of my neighbors are really signed up for the city newsletter on the internet. And I've discovered so far out of the 42 homes, 10 were not. Some have lived there for 15 years. So I've been turning in names to Mrs. Fornari to add them. And Alderman Singer, I don't know if it's possible at your senior event this next week to have a little sheet of paper out there to see if somebody wants to sign up for our city newsletter with their email address, if they have emails. It would just get that many more people on it. I think that when we talk to our neighbors, not that everybody should be going door to door like I did. I kind of enjoy doing that anyway. But I think that that might be providing a service to our residents to see if they want to sign up for the newsletter. And perhaps more importantly, to make sure your neighbors are not putting their leaves in the street.
I certainly
Thank you,
can
Mr. Mayor.
Arrange that.
I think it might help. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Thank you. Anyone else? Alderman Flanagan.
Mr. Mayor, just on the what Alderman Hill was talking about, I know that we have a tight budget, but is there some way that we can have or I don't know if we can manage this within our expenses, but like door hangers or something, so that if Alderman do see people with leaves in the gutters, that we could post something on their door or postcard in their door, rather than making a physical call or whatever. But it's just a thought when I was listening to it.
I'll check into it, see what we can do.
Yeah. A lot of people I made phone calls to, and many of them responded, but not 100%. I might have to just get out with my own rake and embarrass the heck out of them, the hell of them.
Mr. Hill's the reason why we have no solicitation stickers as well.
That's right.
Anyone else?
I was in a movie describing that one time, too.
Yeah, that's no solicitation sticker.
A motion to adjourn, I believe, is in order.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Piper, seconded by Alderman Singer. Bless you, Mr. Kilberg. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Good night.